is MIRSnews.com for the MERS newsletter. Kyle Malone's the editor of the MERS newsletter. And there's always a quote of the day at the top of the page, and it's hilarious this morning. And it reads as follows, and I quote, "It would seem the liberal sour grapes has resulted in an overflowing dose of wine." This is from House Speaker Jace Bulger commenting on the factually challenged commentary MSNBC talk show host Rachel Maddow. Good morning, Kyle.
Hey, good morning, Tony.
That's pretty funny. I like that, and we're going to have, I believe, the speaker on tomorrow morning, but this show has created somewhat of a challenge here in the state.
Well, you know, yeah, Rachel Maddow, the liberal talk show host for MSNBC, has decided to take up the issue that's going on here in the state of Michigan with a procedural vote that is allowing bills that are immediately signed by Governor Rick Snyder to take effect. And, you know, it's a procedure that's been done in the House for as long as I've been here. You know, that's at least 10 years, in which the House gavels through, it's basically gives immediate effect to a bill without the perfunctory two-thirds roll call vote. It's been done by both sides, Republicans and Democrats, depending on who's in the majority. And now the minority from the Democratic Party has decided to take this to court, which may not be a bad idea, just so we can kind of get this cleared up once and for all, if the majority in the House can get away with granting these bills immediate effect, as opposed to them taking effect basically April 1 of the next year, if they have that authority. So, right now it's in the courts. The first go-around in the Ingham County Circuit Court, they said, no, you actually have to have a roll call vote. You just can't. It's what they do is just kind of push it through or gavel it through. But then it will go to the Court of Appeals and probably the Supreme Court, and we'll get a final ruling whether this is a proper procedure or not.
What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think that ultimately the Supreme Court will kind of defer to a separation of powers argument, that the House rules allow it to do certain things, and it's not in the court's jurisdiction to get in the way of that. But, you know, it's always possible. They could also say that, if there's two-thirds, if there needs to be two-thirds support to give a bill immediate effect, then there should actually be votes on the board. I mean, I could see that happening. The problem is, though, is that the Supreme Court has a 4-3 majority of Republicans, and this is a bit of a political issue, so it's possible they could just side Republicans on it.
It's always a challenge listening to extremists from one side or the other, whether it's Rachel Maddow or The Ed Show or Rush Limbaugh. It appears that you get their side of the story, their version of the story. You got to try and find some sources to try and find out what really happened, but it appears that Maddow bungled her facts, as you write.
Well, she presented the story in a way that made it, completely sensational. I mean, and I guess that's what happens in national network news now. You know, you got to appeal to an audience, so you craft things in such a spectacular way to get, people's hackles up. And it's the same thing she did during the emergency manager law, last year, when really what the state did was they just expanded the emergency manager law to appeal to allow those emergency managers to reconfigure labor contracts. I mean, that's really the only new power that was given, yet it made it seem like we legalized dictators for local communities, she didn't give the sponsor of the bill, Al Pasholka, time to even come on the show just to say his piece for a little bit. You know, forget about equal time. He didn't get any time at all. And in this case, she didn't call the Republicans to get out of the story. It wasn't like equal journalism at all. You know, she made it just seem like this is something the Republicans just cooked up, last year to, push things through and kind of advance an agenda, when really it's a tool that's been used for years, like it or not. In fact, I think the Democrats kind of expanded it during their power back in 2007 and 2010. Shoot, there had to be negotiations about when Republicans could even talk on the floor. If for a Republican to even debate a bill on the House floor during that time became this enormous production. So, you know, it's about time that something was done as far as like bringing it to court and seeing, you know, what the proper procedure should be. But to say that this is exclusive to the Republicans is really disingenuous.
Kyle, when we think about retirement pensions and health care benefits for teachers, there is a more than $40 billion gap to what's going to be owed, and that's going to be addressed in part with Senate Bill 1040. Tell us about this story.
Yeah, well, you know, in the state employee retirement system back in the 90s, they moved away from a pension system and started doing defined contribution system with a 401k to try and balance out that system so it's more more sound for the long term, but they never did fix the school employees retirement system, which is called MIPSRS. And so what happens is we still actually have a pension system in our state teacher retirement system, as teachers and families of teachers know. But unfortunately, it's not really balanced. You know, they make actuarial assumptions like they're going to get this enormous and 8% rate of return on their investment. And, you know, if that was the case, Tony, I mean, I don't know what I would be doing, but I would be sticking my money into that. I mean, an 8% return is pretty fantastic. And so anyway, so the Republicans are a little concerned with this, and so they want to, you know, rejigger the system to try and make it a bit more sound, and that means school employees have to kick in more, and you know you don't get as much when you retire, and so you know that kind of creates this debate. Then, you know, why even keep the pension system open as an option? You know, why don't you just close it all together? I mean, what they're talking about is, you know, allowing school employees to go into a 401k. Well, why don't you just close it all together? Well, those discussions are starting now. And actually, during their spring break, we're going to have a public hearing on Wednesday downtown on it. And I assume this will be something that will be addressed this year.
All right, Kyle, I got about 30 seconds. Just any new take that you have on the casino proposal for the city of Lansing?
I just want to see the money, Tony. I mean, until we see who's going to put up several million dollars to get this thing passed, I don't know how seriously to take it.
Show me the money.
It all takes money. You got to have money to pass these things, Tony. It takes a lot of money. Who's going to be behind it?
Kyle Malin is the editor of the MERS newsletter. Go to MERSnews.com. Kyle, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Tony.